the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then fail to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome to this episode of today's special because today is really a special day. Today is the birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and of course the birthday anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Sunday, is the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we express our congratulations on this great Eid birthday anniversary of Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and birthday anniversary of Imam al-Sadiq, Shia's sixth Imam.
Sallu alayhi shafi'an umma, bi dhikri al-rasul tushhadul himma, ya rabbi bijahin nabi azihin ghumma, ya rabbi bijahin nabi azihin ghumma.
Ceremony of giving a name to the Prophet of Islam. The seventh day approached. A sheep was slaughtered by Abdul Muttalib as an expression of gratitude to Allah, and a number of persons were invited to the feast. In that magnificent celebration, which was attended by most of the Quraysh, he gave his grandchild the name Muhammad. When it was inquired from him as to why he had named his child Muhammad, while his name was very rare amongst the Arabs, he replied, "I wish that he should be praised in the heavens as well as on earth." Husayn ibn Thabit says thus in this regard, "The Creator delivered the name of his prophet from his own name." As such, whereas Allah is Mahmud, laudable, his prophet is Muhammad, that means praiseworthy. Both the words have been derived from the same root and carry the same meaning. It is certain that a cold inspiration had a part to play in the selection of this name, because although the name Muhammad was well known amongst the Arabs, very few persons had till then been given this name, according to the exact statistics which some of the historians have collected. Only 16 persons had been given this name before the Holy Prophet.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet Muhammad was such a considerate person that he started speaking just when it was necessary. And this point was related and indicated by Imam al-Husayn al-Salam on the authority of his father, Imam Ali al-Salam. The Prophet Muhammad was very much decent. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, indicated that the Prophet was very much decent, such that when he didn't like anything, it was evident from his complexion. At the same time, the Prophet Muhammad was a simple person, simple in the sense that he used to live a very simple life. He used to sit on the ground, he used to have food and meals with his servants and companions, and he was very much considerate about his companions. If he found one of his companions to be absent for just a few days, he used to ask about that person. And this point indicates that the Prophet Muhammad used to be very considerate about everybody. The Prophet Muhammad wasn't that much extravagant in his life, and he was such a personality that he weighed everything, and his decisions were the best decisions. The Prophet Muhammad was very much polite, even in wartime. During one of the battles, someone started abusing the enemy soldiers, and then the Prophet Muhammad prohibited that companion from abusing enemy soldiers, because it wasn't a polite act. And nowhere else can we find any dignitary more polite than the Prophet Muhammad, because in wartime and in the stressful situations, usually people seldom behave so politely. But in the Prophet Muhammad wasn't such a person to forget that his job and career was educating other people. Hence, being polite was of utmost importance in his conduct and in his teachings. Thank you.
أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض
Prophet Muhammad is the source of unity among all Muslims. Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio on an auspicious Eid, birthday anniversary of the noble Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him. In his final sermon, Prophet Muhammad said that every Muslim was a brother or a sister to every other Muslim. Together, we constitute one ummah, a community, or perhaps a fellowship of people who believe, who assert the kalima, acknowledging the oneness of our Creator and the prophethood of Muhammad. Muslims all over the world often this concept of a single ummah that believes in the same Creator and which collectively feels the happiness and pain of every individual within it. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad leads us to unity, to our Creator, who is Al-Wahid, that means the unique, and Al-Ahad, that means the one. In doing so, he also leads us to unity within the Ummah, amongst its diverse people, languages, and cultures. Thus, the Ummah is not only a theological concept, it is our praxis, our way of life. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims, congratulations to all of you on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and birthday anniversary of Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Imam Sadiq is in training students. In order to train his students, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, made the most out of the time when there was no dictatorship and cruelty because the Abbasids and the Umayyads were in political conflicts with one another over power. In doing so, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam followed in his father's footsteps. The school established by Imam Baqir alayhi salam was expanded by Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him. Some of these students were so advanced and well-trained that they were the pivots of their fields. For example, Hisham ibn Hakam wrote 31 books and Jabir ibn Hayyan authored more than 220 books on various subjects. Imam al-Sadiq's students were not limited to Shias. Rather, Sunnis also benefited from his knowledge. Many well-known Sunni leaders were directly or indirectly the Imam's students. Foremost among these leaders is Abu Hanifa, who studied under the Imam for 2 years. He talked of these 2 years as the foundation of his knowledge, saying, had it not been for those 2 years, Abu Hanifa would have been destroyed.
Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he was the Umayyad Khalifa, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he had ordered, he's in Damascus, he's in Sham, but he had ordered his governor, who was Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the governor of Medina, who later on he became Khalifa as well. He ordered Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz to renovate Masjid al-Nabi, to renovate the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So the Muslims were renovating the Masjid of the Prophet. They were expanding it. Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, he does Hajj and he comes to Medina. He's getting a tour by Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the governor of Masjid al-Nabi and the renovation project. They enter into the Masjid and they see that there's a class in session. And this is what a Masjid is supposed to be. A Masjid is not just a place to pray. And the one Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. And there are many students sitting in front of the Imam. And Imam al-Baqir, he stops teaching when Al-Walid enters. Then Al-Walid, he hears that this is not a normal class. He's not talking about Quran. He's not talking about Hadith. He's talking about something very strange. So he tells him, continue. I want to listen to what you're teaching. And then he tells him, what is this knowledge? I've never heard anyone talk about this. So Imam al-Baqir, he tells him, إِنَّهُ عِلْمٌ يَتَحَدَّثْ عَنِ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَالنُّجُومِ. Imam al-Baqir is talking about the earth and the skies and the sun and the stars. So this is an astronomy class, a geography class, a geology class. These are all the subjects that the Imam is talking about. So Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik was shocked. And then he sees a young child sitting in the class. A young child who's younger than all of the other students. The other students, they're old men. So he tells him, he tells Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, who is this young child? He tells him, هذا جعفر بن محمد. This is Ja'far al-Sadiq. So he says, does he understand what's being said? Because I don't understand what's being said. The class is very sophisticated. So he tells him, the son who understands more than everyone else. Sometimes it's just the father and the son, they're talking to one another in the class. So then he calls Imam al-Sadiq, he calls the child. He wants to test him. He tells him, what's your name? He says, Ismi Ja'far, my name is Ja'far. And then he tells him, أَتَعْلَمْ مَنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُ الْمَنْطِقِ. Do you know who is the one who innovated and started the subject of mantiq, the subject of logic? So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he replies, he says, كان أرسط ملقبا لصاحب المنطق لقبه إياه تلامذته وأتباعه. He says, Aristotle was صاحب المنطق, the one who innovated and started the subject of logic. His students gave him that title. On the real mantiq, you come to us, the Ahlul Bayt. But this is, he acknowledged that Aristotle was a scholar and his students gave him that title. And then he tells him, he asks him a trick question. He tells him, من هو صاحب المعز? Who is the one who is the owner of the ma'z? Ma'z is a goat. So Imam Sadiq, He says, this is not a name of a person, but this is a constellation. You know, right now, if you look at the stars, you see there's shapes of a goat or a Taurus or these things. So the Imam, he knows about that. He tells him, this is not a name of a person, this is a constellation. And then he tells him, هَلْ تَعْلَمْ مَنْ هُوَ صَاحِبُ السُّوَاكِ. Who is the one who is has given the title, صَاحِبُ السُّوَاكِ, the one who carries the suwak, miswak or the toothbrush, the wooden toothbrush of the Prophet. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells him, هُوَ لَقَبْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ صَاحِبْ جَدِّي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He is the companion, it is the title of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion of my grandfather, Rasulullah.
Offer our congratulations on birthday anniversary of last Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam. That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters on the birthday anniversary of Prophet of Islam and Imam As-Sadiq. Peace be upon them all.
Mustafa, anta al-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin anta al-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin بالحق اليقين.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the blessed birthday anniversary of the Seal of Messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today also happens to be the birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. In honor of this day of double blessings, we have selected for you an enlightened statement from the Holy Prophet. I was sent by God to complete the best of morals.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to consent our felicitations, our congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, and to all Muslims throughout the world, especially the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, as according to the majority of Shi'i scholars, this is the day of the birth, not only of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, but also of the sixth Holy Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of these two great individuals, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his grandson Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that the hastening of the reappearance of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman is brought closer, and our acts also enable that huzur and that appearance of the Imam to be come closer. So on this, the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and also the last day of the week of unity, there's a very beautiful tradition narrated by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam with regards to bringing people together. And sometimes we think that, you know, charity is just something monetary or something physical. No, the Imam alayhi salam in this tradition clearly indicates that it is not physical charity that is important. There is sometimes charity that is even better than physical charity, but it is not physical. You're not giving somebody money, you're not giving somebody food, you're not giving somebody a gift, but rather you are giving somebody a lifeline. And what is that lifeline? You are creating and you are solving issues within the Muslim Ummah. This is a lot better. This is a charity that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith says, or the tradition by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that there is a charity loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that charity is the reformation and the reconciliation between people. This is extremely important. And by doing so, whenever there is, you know, a form of facade or some, you know, evil that's occurring within society, or there is, you know, ikhtilaf and differences occurring within society, to try and reform and resolve them is one of the best charities. And not only the resolving of them, but to the bringing of people together when they are fighting, when there is a disagreement, to remove that particular disagreement and to bring people closer and to make them forgive one another. This is the best of charities. This is a charity that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the right of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, both of these individuals are accepted, extremely, you know, venerated by both strands of Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts and to hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, inshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. We're going to talk about a famous Quranic reciter, then we're going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter, and then brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad Shabib. He's an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1934. There's an interesting point here, that is, his birthday coincided with the start of broadcasting Sheikh Muhammad Rifat's recitation from Egyptian radio. He learned memorization and tajweed under the care of Sheikh Tawfiq Ibrahim, who was a hafiz and reciter. He managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at an early age. At that time, he also imitated Sheikh Muhammad Rifat's recitation, and later on he imitated Qaris such as Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Sha'shai, and Sheikh Mahmoud Al-Banna. In 1957, at the age of 23, he recited the Quran in a morning ceremony next to Sheikh Abdul Fattah Sha'shai in the city Al-Mansura, and from then on he became famous. In 1964, he joined the Egyptian radio. His dignity in speech and behavior made Qari Muhammad Ahmad Shabib stand out among other famous reciters. He traveled to some countries, including Iran, and he passed away in 2012 at the age of 78. May Allah bless him. The audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 7 of Surah Al-Qasas, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad Shabib. Let's enjoy it.
Oh,
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad Shabib reciting verse 7 of Surah Al-Qasas. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, this verse starts with Matul Munfasil. We have three. Awhayna ila Ummi Musa an ardi'i. We have three Matul Munfasils right after another. Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad Shabib, he lengthens these Matul Munfasils to the maximum number of vowel counts, five vowel counts. And so he has to be consistent, which he is. He has to lengthen all of them to five vowel counts.
And
he's
takes
not
a long
allowed
breath.
To, yes. He's not allowed to lengthen some of them to less than five vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they all have to be the same. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. Of course, if you recite faster, the number of vowel counts is going to be, the duration is going to be less.
Decrease, yeah.
Yes.
And by matul munfasil, we mean disjunct mat.
Yes, in fact, matul munfasil is whenever you have a long vowel followed by a hamza.
That is cause of the mat.
It's the cause of matul munfasil and muttasil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only cause of matul munfasil and muttasil. Whenever this hamza is in another word, it's not in the same word as the long vowel, mm-hmm. we would have a matul munfasil, a disjunct mat. And this is why it's called disjunct, because they're not in the same word.
Mm-hmm.
They're within a phrase. The long vowel and the hamza, the cause, or we could say the means of the mad, of the lengthening, are in two separate words. We also have ghunna in the word ummi. We have a mim with a tashdeed. So we have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. We have two nasal consonants in Arabic, mim and noon. Their nasal stops, actually, because there is no airflow from the mouth. It's obstructed. Mm-hmm. We have an obstruction in the mouth. The airflow is only in the nose. So we have to lengthen these two letters whenever they are mushaddad to two vowel counts. Ummi Musa. It's as if you're holding it, the number of vowel counts of the med,
mm-hmm.
which is, for example, awhayna, awhayna.
Two vowel counts.
Ummi, ummi. It's two vowel counts. An ardi'i. In the word أرضعي, we have a ra which is sakin preceded by a letter with a fatha. As a result, we have tafkhim of ra. Ra is sakin. Because it's preceded by a letter with a fatha, we have to pronounce the ra with
thickly.
With thickness. Thickly, yes. So we say أرضعي. And of course, the fatha of the hamza before the ra should be pronounced with tarqiq.
Mm-hmm.
If we say arudhi, a is incorrect. It should be a.
Yes.
Faida khifti. The kha has a kasra. We have to apply the lowest level of tafkhim. Khifti.
Khifti.
If you say khifti, khifti, that's incorrect. Because, you know, when you want to apply tafkhim, okay, to a letter that has a kasra, you should preserve the sound of the kasra. The kasra should not sound like something else,
mm-hmm.
like in between a kasra
and fatha.
Or fatha, yes. Khifti. This is the thing that you have to consider whenever you have a letter of istila with a kasra or ya ul mad. For example, we have another one in fa'alqihi. Alqihi. You should not say alqihi. If you say alqihi, that's incorrect. You have to lower the tafkhim to the lowest amount. وَلَا تَخَافِ. Now here we have the highest level of tafkhim. Kha is a letter of istirla. You have to pronounce it with tafkhim. Because it has an aliful mad, you have to pronounce it with the highest level of tafkhim. تَخَافِ. And in order to do that, you open the mouth vertically. This is the point. And if you don't open the mouth vertically, you won't have the highest level of tafkhim. If you say takhafi, takhafi, that's as if you're pronouncing the kha with a fatha. So you have to open the mouth vertically. Wala tahzani inna. We have another matul munfasil here. And we have a matul lazim in the word raduhu. We have an alif al-mad followed by a dal with a tashdeed, with shiddah. And so we have to apply six, we have to lengthen the mad to six vowel counts. And we have no other choice. And that is why it's called lazim. Lazim means necessary. The required mad or lengthening.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this verse we had several ha'ul dhamirs. And interestingly, none of them had ishba'.
And we'll just talk about ishba' in brief.
Yes. Ishba' is whenever you have the ha at the end of a word, which is ha'ul dhamir, mm-hmm. the pronoun masculine ha. If the ha is preceded by a letter with a haraka, you have to pronounce the ha like a long vowel. Either wawul mad or yaul mad, depending on the letter before the vowel, the haraka before the haul dhamir. If it's a fatha, you have to pronounce it like a dhamma. If it's a kasra, if it's a fatha or a dhamma, mm-hmm. you have to pronounce it with a wawul mad. If it's a kasra, you have to pronounce it like a yaul mad. Here, we don't have the conditions of ishba'af haul dhamir. Arudu'ihi. Ha is preceded by a long vowel, not a short vowel. Alayhi, again, ha is preceded by a sakin letter. Fa'alqihi, raduhu, ja'iluhu, again. So none of the ha'al dhamirs have ishba.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطية أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء Oh Allah, forgive me for the sins which bring about tribulations. In this regard, we have sufficiently discussed two of the sins causing the descendants of the tribulations. One was negligence to the pleading of the afflicted, and the second one that was discussed in the previous program was not helping the oppressed. The third cause, or in better terms, the third sin causing the descendants of tribulations is the abandonment of the enjoining good and forbidding evil. Let us start discussing this important factor, this important duty. In fact, enjoining to good, forbidding evil, they are two divine duties, not one duty. Practicing these two duties is obligatory for anyone who has the necessary conditions. Of course, there are some conditions mentioned for the obligation of these two duties. If the person knows the good and knows the evil, if the person does good and avoids evil himself, and all of the other conditions mentioned in the right place, if the person owns these conditions, it is necessary upon him to observe the rules of the Almighty. Abandoning these two duties is a cardinal sin and brings about many tribulations. Enjoining to good and forbidding evil are two important aspects of religion. Throughout history, all prophets were appointed to specifically establish these two important aspects of religion. If these two tasks are discarded, the movement of the prophethood would stop. I mean, the religion would be annihilated because if these two tasks are not done in the society, they are left alone. Negligence, corruption, misguidance, they would all spread everywhere. The cities would actually collapse. The people would perish. The Almighty Allah states in the Holy Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ From among you, there should be a party who invite to good and enjoin what is right and forbid the wrong, and these it is that shall be successful. Because the Holy Quran itself says that one of the main characteristics and features of true believers is that they are the guardians of each other.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah,
forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you, begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
The Holy Quran says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. For the believing man and women, they are guardians of each other. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoin good and they forbid evil. Not just in the verses of the Holy Quran, but also in many of the narrations from the Infallibles and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, we have seen the importance reflected in their words. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You people, you should enjoin good and you should forbid evil. أَوْ لَيُسْتَعْمَلُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شِرَارُكُمْ فَيَدْعُوا خِيَارُكُمْ وَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ. If you discard these two important duties, Allah would dominate the wicked ones on you. لَيُسْتَعْمَلُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شِرَارُكُمْ فَيَدْعُوا خِيَارُكُمْ وَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ. And your honest ones would pray to God, but their supplications would not be accepted. So you see, dear listeners, how the sins the people commit are interrelated to each other. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the supplication, says, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. Forgive me for the sins which bring about tribulations. One of the sins that cause the tribulations of the Almighty Allah is this avoiding doing this activity, doing this duty, forbidding the evil, enjoining good. And at the same time, discarding these two duties is one of the reasons of the supplications not accepted. There, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. O Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplication. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. I need you by
close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea